It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. And it's all brought to you today by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We got a good show lined up for you. You know, Wednesdays, we always have the postman, Steve Post, on. And we'll talk to him about Kansas Speedway, as well as last night's World of Outlaw race at Bridgeport. Man, what a barn burner of a race last night. I don't know if anybody watched it. Besides myself, I'm sure many people did watch it, but what a race last night. My goodness, that was such a heck of a race between Sheldon Hodenshield and Kyle Larson last night at Bridgeport in New Jersey. Austin, did you get a chance? We watched a little bit of it here before we went on the air. What did you think of that race last night? That was pretty much a barn burner, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can get the top four, you know, dicing it up for the win is always a good show. And, you know, I think it could have been a different story if that last yellow didn't come out with, you know, two or three to go. Right. And, you know, the track crew did a good job getting it turned around from qualifying in the heat races. And,
right.
You know, they kind of salvaged the night.
So Kyle Larson kind of threw himself under the bus a little bit last night. He felt like when Casey Kane had that right rear flat, right, there was like four laps to go.
Yeah.
He chose to run the middle of the racetrack instead of getting up and ripping the lip. And that's what gave Sheldon the opportunity to get around him on the outside. Sheldon even said it as much in his post-race interview that he felt that Kyle was going to get up there and rip the lip and kind of take his line away from him, but he didn't do that. He tried to run the center. I'm not sure. He felt like there was a little more grip right in the middle of the racetrack last night, Kyle said.
Yeah, so, you know, as the race went on after a rework, all the moisture on the bottom got kicked up into loose dirt in the middle. So sometimes you can make it work for a couple of laps. And at that point in the race, it was pretty much all burnt off. And, you know, he tried it a couple times during the race, and it just wasn't. It wasn't as good as carrying the momentum around the top. And, you know, all Kyle kind of did getting into one was he did it right where he tried to block a potential slide job from Sheldon, but he just should have went back up to the top into three and four and just got his momentum going back again. Because it's just you have two laps left in the race. You're not going to get, you know, enough speed built up to throw big slide jobs.
It's time to block when you got two laps to go, right?
Yeah, just
it's time to take the line away from the guy.
Yeah, just block your first you know, start or your first corner after a restart.
Right. And Shots looked pretty good last night too, by the way, didn't he? He was kind of running them down there at the end of the race.
Yeah, Donnie, I was kind of surprised to see Donnie get back into a dash and then, you know, start up front in the feature. And it's been a while since we've kind of seen him. You know, he had a good first night this year at Evolution where he got a win, but he just kind of fell, you know, into the mid-top tens and really wasn't good. He didn't really do good at Bristol. And to kind of see Donnie get some speed back was good, and hopefully he can carry that into the summertime.
Right. Well, I don't know, man. The World of Outlaws are putting on such great action right now. I mean, it seems like week in and week out. You know, man, I'm just going to say it. Maybe I lived in my bubble just a little too much when I was out on the road with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. You know, traveled with them for 13 years doing their broadcast. And, you know, it was hard for me to look outside my bubble because I was locked into everything that was ASCS at the time. I've always felt like ASCS has put on as good a races as anybody when it comes to on-track action. But, man, I'm telling you right now, what I'm seeing with the World of Outlaws, it's just amazing on the action that I'm seeing right now. And you sprinkle in a little Kyle Larson in there on top of it, man, it just makes it even better, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, look at it. It's the best sprint car drivers in the world right now.
Yeah.
You know, and there's just not five of them. There's not 10. There's every bit of, you know, 14 or 15 good cars that have a shot at winning at every Outlaw show. And, you know, it's the best time to be a sprint car fan right now, in my opinion.
Right. I don't think there's ever been a better time.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, just you look at what the popularity is. I mean, yeah, you have a new energy with NOS coming in a couple years ago as a title sponsor. They're putting a lot of money into the sport. You got a lot of young drivers that have, you know, a lot of, you right. know, drive to be the best. And, you know, you just, it's a lot of TV time too. You know, we got some right. races on CBS. And I mean, it's the best combination for a big popularity deal for sprint car racing.
Yeah. I don't think there's been a better time to be a sprint car fan. I say that. You know, I wasn't a big sprint car fan because I was locked in the sheet metal world when I was racing back in the late 70s through the 80s and the 90s. I was just really kind of locked into what was going on on the local racing scene. But maybe it might have been better back in the day. I mean, when you had Sammy, when you had Steve, when you had Doug Wolfgang. I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit better back in those days. I don't know. Maybe we had an old timer call in and tell us, maybe that might be the case. But anyway, that was some pretty good stuff last night. I was really happy for Sheldon. You know what? I hate to say this. I really hate to say this. But I don't know if you do this or not, Austin, but I have a tendency to root for the guys that are racing Kyle Larson. Why is that? Why do I feel like I've got to... I'm not rooting against Kyle Larson, but I'm rooting for... You know, if you're a driver and you're out there and you're racing with Kyle Larson, what's the best thing that could happen to you? You could outrun Kyle Larson. Wouldn't that be one of the great mental makeup? I mean, wouldn't that just put you in the right place mentally as a driver when you outrun Kyle Larson, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it would. He's the best sprint car driver, or one of the best right. in the country right now. And anytime you can beat, you know, the best, or some call him the GOAT, I mean, it's just a big confidence booster.
Well, as Johnny said last night on the broadcast, he's a generational driver, right?
Yes.
I mean, you don't see many people come along like Kyle Larson very often in life, but... The thing about it is that I just kind of root for the people that are racing against him. I don't know why I do that. I love Kyle Larson. I'm a huge fan of his. But I just think that rooting for the, here's maybe the here's what the root of the whole evil is. I kind of root for the underdog a little bit, right? When you're watching somebody with the talent that Kyle Larson has, isn't it easy to root for the guy that is the underdog that's racing against him? Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you could call any of the Outlaw full-timers an underdog.
Well, no.
I get when you line up against Kyle Larson, they might be, but, I mean, it's not like he's, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can call him that.
Is it fair to call the other drivers underdogs when they're racing against Kyle Larson? That's the question to the fans out there today. Are you an underdog when you race against Kyle Larson? That's a yes or no answer right there. I mean, you can give your opinion on why you would think that maybe they're not an underdog, or if they are an underdog. But to me personally, I look at everybody else as the underdog when they race against Kyle Larson, because he is one of those kind of AJ Foyt, Mario Andretti type drivers, right? What do you think, Austin?
I think he's in the same category as AJ and Mario.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look at it, you know, the only thing different in Kyle Larson is just his talent level. You know, everybody else has the same car. Everybody else has the same, you know, engine package. The teams are pretty much the same. So,
right.
I mean, I guess you can call people underdogs that they're just not as talented as him. But, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, the undefeated, you know, best driver of all time. People do, like last night, they do beat him. So, I mean, I guess it's a preference thing if you call Kyle or drivers that race against Kyle an underdog or not.
I don't know. Maybe I'm going a little too far with that, right? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just look at everybody that races against him as the underdog. Do the fans look at him like that, like he is one step above everybody else? Do the fans look at him as the supreme being when it comes to driving a race car? Do you think they look at him that way? The fans in the grandstands? You don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of the grandstand. I mean, that'd be, you know, a question for whoever.
You're a fan of racing.
Yeah, but I just look at it with a different mindset, really.
Yeah. you don't want to look at it like a fan,
no.
Right? Because you're a race car driver. Is that why?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you just think of it as a driver. You know, you don't, I don't know how to describe it, but I don't know.
You have a hard time as a driver looking up to anybody else.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, good explanation for it.
Right. Other big news, let's talk about this a little bit. Robbie Price, we had it in our notes, just so you know there, Paul and Austin, we had it in our notes that Robbie Price is going to take over the 7S car in the World of Outlaws. What do you think about that story breaking right there? Do you have to bring something to the table to get that ride, do you think?
I think so. I mean, you know, Jason said it when he made the announcement a couple weeks ago about wanting to step out of the seat, and he said if somebody that's young and up and coming that has the funding or has the resources to, you know, bring to the table, you'll get the seat. I don't know how Robbie's program is ran or what he has behind the scenes, but, right. You know, I wouldn't put it past him to bring a little something to the table and, you know, and secure a shot at, you know, having a seat full-time with the Outlaws. That's decent equipment that he can go out there and get, you know, the best experience you can and a sprint car against the best drivers in the world.
You know, Robert Price is a pretty good race car driver, though.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't take anything away from him. He's won Dirt Cup, right?
Yes, 2019. Youngest winner in the history of the Dirt Cup.
Right. I think he won it one year, and the next year Seth Bergman won it, right? 2 years in a row that those guys, the two guys from up in the Pacific Northwest, won that race. Or maybe I have it backwards.
I think you might have it backwards.
Maybe Seth won and then Robbie Price won. I'm not sure. But it's hard to think back to those days. But Robbie Price, pretty good race car driver. He's had some pretty bad luck along the way, too. What was it down there at Lucas Oil Speedway where he got upside down at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial one time?
Probably. I mean, he spent, you know, 2 or 3 years out on the national tour kind of, you know, paying his dues on tour racing, and then he went back and ran local after the country shutdown, world shutdown in 2020. And just kind of got some, you know, local seat time up there, and then, you know, he started making his way back down into California, and then this deal kind of, you know, got presented to him. But I wasn't really around Robbie a whole lot when he was racing, you know, ASCS. I ran him a couple times,
right.
But, you know, from what I've seen, and, you know, you win Dirt Cup, you're pretty good. And it's not every day, you know, a mid-pack car wins Dirt Cup. So,
well, they got 50 or 60 cars that show up for that race.
Yeah, and I mean, right. You have to have definitely the talent to do it, and I think it's just, he's kind of paid his dues, and it's now it's a good time for him to show off what he really has.
So, we're going to keep our fingers crossed that Robbie does pretty good in the 7S car. Was it time for Jason to hang it up, you think?
Well, I did see an article that he's not officially retiring from racing. He suffered a couple injuries along the way. I think he has like a hip injury right now. So it's just making it hard for him to be competitive at that level. And I think he's just, you know, let somebody drive it for the rest of this year, heal up, and maybe come back full time next year and, you know, maybe run one or two more years full time. And then, you know, years down the road, you finally hang it up for good and either go hire somebody to race for you full time at that point or just sell it all and walk away.
It's hard to walk away, though.
It's very hard.
Yeah. I did that in 2010, and to this day, 12 years later, I still want to drive a race car. Why is that? It's addicting.
Yeah, it's like a drug.
It is.
You don't think of it like it, but it is.
Yeah. So this weekend down at Tri-City, it looks like Mother Nature is going to kind of maybe take it. There's a chance that Mother Nature could ruin this weekend down there, right?
Yes. A 40% and 70% chance of rain Friday and Saturday.
Forty on Friday.
Yep, that's what I saw this morning. 40 on Friday and 70% chance on Saturday. So, with anywhere from, you know, a quarter inch of rain to 3/4 of an inch of rain over the weekend, and not looking good for what we want to do this Saturday, Friday and Saturday.
So here's a situation where they need to. If they're going to call the race, they need to call it
tomorrow. They need to call it tonight or tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Because, you know, you look at it, I'm I'm 4 hours away from East St. Louis.
Right.
You know, I think Blake is almost 7 hours away, and anybody else that's from Oklahoma,
they're
you got
way.
Guys yeah. from Nebraska, that's probably 6 or 5 hours away. So,
right.
I mean, you're pulling from, you know, a long ways away, and, you know, you're going to burn a lot of gas. If I win, I'm going to spend about $600 in gas. I don't know what Toter Homes would spend.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, you have to be more.
What's your truck get fuel mileage
10 miles to the gallon.
10 miles a gallon pulling the trailer, right?
Yeah, and yeah. you just, you know, right now you have to be more conservative on where you're racing and when you're racing. You just can't put your teams through that, you know, grind and you know, have a chance of them spending a lot of money with no return.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. So we'll find out probably by tomorrow if they're going to run that race, I would think.
I would hope so.
Yeah, but they got to do it at the latest Thursday by noon, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, teams that have, you know, big haulers, they have to leave, you know, probably earlier than most teams. So, I mean, you just got to give them, you know, at least a day in advance before you call it.
Yeah, yeah. Paul said, I believe he has a good backing. He's a great driver. He's talking about Robbie Price here, by the way. Except wrecking in front of Blake last year, he said, laughed out loud. So, I don't remember what race that was where he wrecked in front of him. Do you?
I think it was Dirt Cup when Blake was leading and that lap car crashed.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Was Robbie.
Robbie was up at the top of the track. I think it was him and Harley White.
No, Harley White didn't race ASCS last year.
Oh, wasn't
she was out in Ohio.
Oh, that's right. She was driving a 410. Who was it that wrecked up there in front of him? Skagit. That's right. But it seemed like somebody else was involved in that wreck up there. I can't remember who it was. But anyway, long story short, my memory isn't what it used to be. So I'm happy for Robbie Price. Hopefully he'll do good with World of Outlaws and maybe create some opportunity for himself. I think tonight, isn't it Flow Racing Night in America tonight at Marshalltown?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you like watching the late models?
You know, I don't watch them as much as I should.
Yeah.
But the times I do get to catch, you know, racing or highlights of it, they always put on really good racing. Like, we watched the races from Lincoln Speedway last week, and,
right.
you know, Brandon Shepard and Dennis Erb, you know, had a really good race. And then we had a race, I think, the following night or two nights later with Ricky Thornton Jr. and Tyler Erb. And that was, you know, inches at the finish line for Tyler Erb. And, you know, they put on some of the best racing, and I just I probably should pay more attention to it, but I always enjoy catching them when I can.
You know, late model racing has become my second favorite form of motorsports right now, to be honest with you. You know, with all the great drivers that you see over there, and there's so many talented drivers and so many good teams over there. But I still have this little problem of rooting for Mike Marler. I don't know what it is about Mike, but he's such a good guy and always willing to come on the show. I always pull for him. I'm not supposed to do that, by the way, right? You're not supposed to pull for people
shouldn't.
In the media.
Well, I'll
if
just
you're
say
a media I, type, you're not supposed to
I'm
do
a
that.
Tyler Erb fan. I'll just say it.
Turbo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? I mean, he's a nut. I mean, the dude's crazy. As a team owner, he's going to give you 110% every time he goes out there and races.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to send it. He's not afraid to move you or run you over. You know, he's just, you know, wet it and wear it and, you know, move on from it.
David says, I call them lean over late models. I don't like, he says. He doesn't like them. Caleb says, speaking of ASCS, I saw Westbrook race the Patriot Sprint Tour last night. He's out getting more experienced against all sorts of series. So,
yep, he was in New York last night. That's where that race was.
How'd he do? Do you know?
Let me look real quick.
All right. Take a good look there, and we'll see what he does. You know, I believe that Dylan Westbrook, as we mentioned yesterday, Blake Kahn, Matt Covington, Dylan Westbrook, Wayne Johnson, who am I leaving out there? there's one person I'm leaving out there that I'm thinking of, have a chance to win that championship. There's a handful of guys that can win the championship at the ASCS National Sprint Car Tour this year.
He finished third.
He did. Yeah. Who else was there last night? Any notables?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Well, so anyway, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to visit with Steve Post, the postman. We'll talk to him a little bit about Kansas Speedway last weekend. You know, Moody has been on the air for the last couple days just throwing our racetrack under the bus. When I say our racetrack, the people that live here in Kansas City. And I just have a big problem with that. First of all, it didn't stop raining till about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And the people that live 4 or 5 hours away from here aren't going to drive 4 or 5 hours to come up here and sit in the rain. And Kirk, he spoke to a representative out at Kansas Speedway this year, and they had more pre-ticket sales than they've had in a couple of years. A lot of people just didn't show up because of the weather. And I don't get it. I don't know why Moody can't get his head out of his butt and realize that weather played a big part on the attendance at Kansas Speedway last weekend. We'll talk to Steve Post about that, and we'll talk to him about last night's World of Outlaw race at Bridgeport. It's all right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
CigarPort.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I want to remind everybody, if you're going to go up to Knoxville Raceway, you need to go over to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. They've got a tribute to Ascot Park over there. And if you're not familiar with Ascot Park, it was in Gardena, California. I was lucky enough to say that I went there back in the early 80s. What a great venue it was. They race four nights a week. And they've got a great tribute up there. It started on May 1st. It's going to go through October 1st. It's inside the museum. They're going to have a lot of cars, a lot of information about the drivers that raced at Ascot Park, as well as T-shirts and posters and all kinds of little knickknacks about Ascot Park in Gardena, California. You just need to go up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. It's right off of Turn 2. Out there on 14 Highway, just go over there. If you're going to go up to the races, just take a walk over on the sidewalk. Over there and check it out. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is second to none when it comes to sprint car racing. It's the best sprint car hall of fame in the world, folks. You need to go there. And if you can't go there in person, you can always go online to SprintCarStuff.com. That's SprintCarStuff.com, and you can make a purchase of some of your favorite racing memorabilia that comes from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And when you're up there, tell Bob Baker the Racing Boys sent you, would you? Joining us now on the show is a longtime friend of the show, Steve Post. The Postman joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Man, did you watch that World of Outlaw race last night?
I did not. I was announcing out of Millbridge, but I watched the highlights of it. Holy cow, what a race.
Steve, I hate to say this, and I'm going to repeat myself from earlier in the show, and I feel terrible to say this, but, you know, it seems like to me every time Kyle Larson is racing against somebody, it doesn't matter who it is, right? Doesn't matter who it is. I'm kind of pulling for the other guy because I always feel like the other guy is the underdog when it comes to Kyle Larson and when people race Kyle Larson. Am I wrong to think like that, that all the other people are underdogs compared to Kyle Larson?
I don't know. I mean, I think that he is so good. I find it an interesting discussion because, you know, we're talking sprint cars and that race last night. With Sheldon, I think, you know, Kyle comes in and he had that car rolling and it was sort of like a shark. The first half of that race was like a shark in the water. You're like, you know, the inevitable is going to happen.
Right.
And I think we love the story where the inevitable doesn't happen. You know, even when Kyle gets the lead and Sheldon's able to race back around him on the last lap or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I think that I get the whole underdog thing. Now, what's interesting about this is that last Thursday I was over at the dirt track at Charlotte watching the XR Series race super late models, and he won that one. And it's interesting watching him because there's some of those late model guys, I almost feel like Kyle's the underdog at times with some of those guys. And so I don't know that you're wrong in feeling that. I think I tend to sense that it goes that way race by race. There's some races where I feel like that this guy might have an upper hand and other ones might not. But right. I can see how you would feel that way. Kyle is so good, my gosh. And you get him and Paul Silva together with that sprint car and batten down the hatches, it's going to be really good.
You know, it's kind of like Jimmy Johnson. After he won so many races and he won all those championships, people started becoming a hater towards Jimmy Johnson. And Jimmy Johnson, just so we... to be fair, is one of the nicest guys I've ever met, right?
Yeah. If you moved into a neighborhood and you walked over to your fence in the backyard and said hi to the neighbor, and the neighbor was Jimmy Johnson, you won.
Right.
You know, you won the neighbor lottery because he's just that guy. He's a great guy. He really is. But I think there is fatigue. I mean, I think it's fair that there's fatigue. And face it, the reality of it is for the last 3 years, all we've heard in racing, and it doesn't matter if it's Sunday afternoon or right. Tuesday night, is Kyle Larson.
Yeah.
And, you know, we maybe in the moment root against Jimmy Johnson or Kyle Larson. We may in the moment, but we're the very first people puffing out our chests and say, you think that guy's good? You should have seen Jimmy Johnson in his prime.
Right.
Or you remember what Kyle Larson did in 2022 or 2020 and 2021? And so while in the moment we might root for the underdog or the other driver, we're also going to crow to our kids about what it was like to watch Kyle Larson and our grandkids to watch Kyle Larson race the way he's doing it.
Does it come right down to everybody loves to hate a winner sometimes, Steve?
I think everyone loves to see different people win.
Right.
I don't know that you love to hate a winner, but I think everyone likes to see the wealth get spread around a little bit.
Yeah.
And we kind of had a little of this discussion today, changing gears here, with NASCAR 2021 or 2022. We kind of like the fact that Trackhouse Racing has won some races.
Right.
You know, we kind of like the fact that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is up there in the top 10 and Kurt Busch wins. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think we kind of like that Sheldon Haudenschild remains relevant at the top of the field, winning races along the way in the world of outlaws. So I think we kind of like the wealth spread around. And face it, the last 3 years, Kyle Larson has not shared a lot of that wealth. So I think we like the wealth shared around. Not necessarily hate a winner, but I think we like to see the wealth shared a little bit.
We're visiting with Steve Post, the Postman. His appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. What'd you think about that the action at Kansas Speedway last weekend? And first of all, I'm just in so much pain today because my boy Trent Owens suspended another four races for a loose tire.
Yeah.
That's just painful for me because I have a personal relationship with T.O. He's such a good guy. I just hate to see that happen. Was that the tire that got loose on pit road, or was that a tire? Because I don't remember a tire coming loose out on the racetrack. Was that the tire that got loose on pit road?
Yeah, it was on pit road. They dropped the jack. The car took off, and Justin was able to stop quickly, but the damage was already done. The tire had already come off the car.
Yeah.
So it never made it out onto the track, never even made it out really headed down pit road. It left the pit box, and they realized they had a problem and got him woke down, and the tire came off before he could back into the pit box.
Yeah. Gosh, Doc, I hate that. I'm pretty happy for Kurt Busch, though, because that guy needed a win in the worst way, didn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, Scott, it's pretty incredible to watch what happens when you plug someone like Kurt Busch into a team. And we've seen this across the board. We saw it when he went to Stuart Haas Racing. We saw it when he went with Furniture Row.
Right.
Remember out in Denver, Colorado.
The 78
car. We saw what he did in James Finch's car when he ran that. Kurt has a really long history of making teams better. And he's a great building block into a program. And I think what we saw on Sunday was all of the elements with Kurt, Billy Scott as crew chief, and his team in what it takes to win a race. It takes a good car. And Kurt had a good car when they took it out of the box on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes a good, productive practice session. While everyone was working on getting their car to snuggle up against the wall, Kurt was working on his car to run a groove or two down from snuggling up against the wall.
Right.
The theory being, if everyone's snuggled up against the wall, how am I going to pass the guy?
Right.
So Kurt and Billy Scott and those guys worked on their car. They took a really good car, and they made it better during that practice and qualifying session on Saturday afternoon. And then when it came time to Sunday, they took that great car. They took that championship-caliber driver. They took that car that was maneuverable, unlike some other cars, and they were flawless on pit road, which is a big key, and they showed us what winning was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what winning was. That was from the simulation at the shop last week to Victory Lane, that was a great program. And that's what you get with a veteran driver like Kurt Busch. You get the capability of doing that. And now what they'll do is they'll go back and they'll be like, okay, we see what this looks like. We see what this feels like, and we're able to do it. Ironically, they had two really fast race cars. Bubba right. Wallace was a top five car.
Right.
They had a tire fall off, or not a tire fall off, a tire get away from the crew. And with 70 laps to go, he had to go to the back of the field, and he raced his way to 10th spot. So
yeah.
I think Kurt is having a big impact on that team. A good win, a great win for him, a great win for that team. And it's going to be interesting to see what that team looks like now as we get into the summer months, where that team falls in, because they had really good speed in not one but two cars out at Kansas.
You know, I think it's exciting this year to see the success of 2311, and they win a race. Bubba, he's doing well in his car as well. And we're seeing a lot of the smaller teams, like Trackhouse and them running up towards the front. What do you think is the major – you think it's the car? Is that the reason that everybody is more competitive than maybe they once were?
Yeah, I think so. I had a really, really good visit 4 or 5 weeks into the season with Michael McDowell. And, of course, Michael is just a great, great racer, a Daytona 500 champion from Front Row Motorsports. And he said, when you look at all of our teams last year, okay, yep. let's say all drivers are equal. We know that's not true. But let's say all drivers are equal, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to how many cars you have. Well, we have lesser cars. Our cars are also a generation or two older than everyone else. We don't have as many engineers at Front Row Motorsports as the other teams do. You know, we don't have the depth in our crew members. We're working 7 days a week when they're working 6 or 5 days a week.
Right.
And so what this car has done, this car has taken that car element out of the equation. Michael McDowell says, my car, he pointed to his car, is the same as Kyle Busch's car. And it's the same as Kevin Harvick's car. Now, we still need to engineer the thing, and I still need to drive the thing, but it has closed the gap greatly because you're coming out of the box with the same piece.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get what it is, we always talk about alliances, and there's different degrees of alliances. There are some alliances that are really, really strong. The alliance that Denny Hamlin's 2311 has with Joe Gibbs Racing. I would say that they produce 6 equal cars. When you look at some of these other alliances, they're not the same because they're different tiers of alliances and they're different tiers of manufacturing support. And so, you know, the Front Row Motorsports might be a 2-generation-old Roush Fenway car back when it was Roush Fenway Racing before Brad Keselowski got involved. Well, that deficit is all erased now. So
right.
When you look at Collin Racing, and when you look at JTG Doherty Racing, and we look at Trackhouse, and we look at 2311, their parts and pieces are the same parts and pieces as Joe Gibbs Racing and Penske Racing and Hendrick Motorsports. That is a big change. That is a huge change.
Right.
Now it's a matter of what you can do with that instead of what we don't have. And
yeah.
I think that's why we're seeing some really sharp people here. I think Phil Surgeon, who is Ross Chastain's crew chief at Trackhouse Racing. I think we're learning that Phil Surgeon was one of those guys that a couple years ago, if you'd have put him at Hendrick Motorsports or Penske, he'd have been winning races.
Yeah.
I think when you see that, I think this car is equalized so that we have some different people. that are able to showcase their ability, not only drivers, but in some cases crew chiefs and engineers as well. It has been a fascinating year. It's been just absolutely fascinating because you just don't know what's coming next.
Right. That's what's great about it. I think this is the most enjoyment I've got out of NASCAR Cup racing in several years. Rodney wants to ask you a question here. He says, what does Steve think about all the tire situations, all the blowouts, the lug hub problems in NASCAR? What do you think about all that, Steve?
Well, I mean, it's a new car. And so with a new car comes one of the things that happens in the sport is, and this is across the sport, they are going to push it to the nth degree, period.
Right.
That's just a fact of life. And so when we look at the tires, it is a brand new tire. I'm not talking a new compound.
This
is a brand new tire.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the wear patterns like? Well, that's related to compound. What is the construction like? How does that shoulder of the wheel work? Well, we don't know because it's a new tire.
Right.
And so what happens is we get to a situation like Kansas where people push that shoulder right to the edge. Well, we find out where the edge is.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone has to scale it back. I talked to one of the crew chiefs. I talked to Adam Stevens over at Joe Gibbs Racing. And I said, what can you tell me about these tires and the left rear problem? He said, well, here's what I can tell you is a month ago we were cutting tires down and we've learned to scale it back. He says it's not something you're happy about or you're proud of, but everybody pushes it to the level. So that's what we have as far as the tires falling off the race, or the tires cutting, the cut tires we had at Kansas. Everyone is pushing that camber. Everyone is pushing those tires. We've got independent rear suspension. The rear end of this car is far more downforce on it than it was last year.
Right.
This car aerodynamically is more on the rear tires, so that puts a lot of pressure on the right rear. You jack that thing up with a little camber and put it over on the shoulder, the outbound shoulder of the car, and you're going to, that seam in the shoulder of the tire is where the weak spot is. So that was the challenge we had with the tire failures. The pit road stuff is guys doing things in 9 seconds that they used to do in 12.
Right.
And mistakes are being made.
Yeah.
And it's different. It's harder. These pit stops are more difficult. You can't see what you used to be able to look down and visually see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lug nuts in place, studs coming out of the lug nuts. We're good. You can't see all of this because the pins are behind the wheel, and it is a challenge. It comes down to feel. It comes down to knowing what this feels like, not making any mistakes, maybe taking a half a second a little slower to make sure you got that thing on there. And it is, again, it's all the same issue. Everyone pushing everything to the nth degree. It's new pit stops. It's new tires. It's new technology. It's new cars. And we're going to have failures, and I think that's what we've had over the course of this year.
I think over time they'll figure it out, though.
Yeah,
I'm pretty confident with that.
They learned the Eric Jones wheel that wouldn't come off.
Right.
Okay.
How crazy was that?
My understanding on that deal is the guy held the air gun on it, putting the wheel on a little too long.
Right.
It was too tight.
Right.
And it wouldn't come off. At one time, we thought we'd heard early in the week it was cross-threaded. Come to find out, we don't think it was cross-threaded. Those air guns, the torque that those air guns have, now every crew member, and Scott, when they were trying to unhook that right rear tire from Eric Jones's team at Kansas on Sunday, there were representatives from every team in there watching, wondering how they were going to get it off and what happened.
Yeah.
What happened is, it appears that they just got it too tight. Well, now we've got a guard for that.
Right.
In 9 seconds in these pit stops.
Yeah.
It's part of the challenge that we have in 2022. And these athletes that do these cars are amazing people, but it's this learned thing that we've got to do. And I agree with you. We're going to learn these lessons, but while we're learning these lessons, we're seeing tires fall off. We're seeing tires pop. And now we're seeing tires get stuck on race cars. But that's kind of the development of the new car, the new tire, and the new pit stop procedures, in my opinion.
It's just a learning process. That's all it is, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And my gosh, does it make things interesting? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
I have a couple friends that are on these pit crews. Oh, my gosh. They're telling me, you know, Ryan Flores is the front tire changer over in the Penske camp over there. And he said, and I said, so how are you doing with this? He said, you mentally have to process the same number of items in 9 seconds that you used to have 12 seconds to process.
Right.
Now, Scott, for you and I, that doesn't, okay, fine. We couldn't do it in 3 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But when you shave 25% off from the time and you still have to process all of the same senses, feelings, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and it's new, it's amazing what's happening on pit road. Absolutely amazing. And there's been eight, we just wrapped up a crew call show. We have Brad Moran on. Brad Moran is the series director from NASCAR, okay? Yep. And I think the number he quoted us is, we've had 8 tires fall off race cars. We've had somewhere in the vicinity of 10,000 stay on the race cars. So I think they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it in those terms, that's a lot better than we think it is, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we never talk about the planes to land, do we?
No.
And how safe properly at an airport, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, the goal is zero tires falling off because we don't need a tire in the grandstands. I mean, that's the goal, and that's why the penalty is so severe on this.
Right.
They take it seriously because we don't need tires bouncing around, but it's new. It's just as you said, Scott, they're learning, everyone's learning, and boy, it's fascinating for us to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so I got to bring up, and I'm not trying to throw one of your teammates under the bus, but he's been kind of ragging on Kansas Speedway the last couple of days about the fans not showing up. I'm talking about Moody, just so you know.
Uh-huh.
He's been kind of ragging on his show about the fans not showing up for Kansas Speedway. But I don't think that he's looking at it with a clear light, to be honest with you. Because, listen, it was raining as hard as it could rain for a long time, up till about 11:30, right? And a lot of these fans that go to Kansas Speedway, they're in Des Moines, they're in Lincoln, they're in Tulsa. They're surrounding areas, and a lot of fans, and we have found out through our friends over at Kansas Speedway that the pre-ticket sales were through the roof compared to where they've been for the last couple of years, right? But the problem is that those fans that bought those tickets, they're sitting at home, they're watching the rain, and they know it's downpouring in Kansas City. They're not going to drive 5 or 6 hours to go to a racetrack to get rained out and not be able to stay till Monday to watch that race. A lot of people are just not going to go. Even though they have the tickets, they're just not going to show up because of Mother Nature.
No, I agree. I did not like, we have the, you have these senses, you have these feels.
Right.
Okay? I'll go back 2 weeks ago at Dover. I woke up, we were expecting rain. I in my mind believed, we'll be all right. And the next thing I know, I'm checking back in at the hotel. I'm like, well, I didn't see that coming. I'm telling you, Sunday at Kansas, I was expecting to spend another night there.
Right.
And I was in Kansas. I didn't have to drive 4 hours to get to that racetrack.
Right.
The way it looked, the way it felt, just the way things were going, I was thinking, well, you know, we might be ready to come back to this hotel because this is not looking good. So, to your point, Scott, every conversation that we have on our planet now is about gas prices, okay?
No doubt.
And you're right. You're sitting 5 or 6 hours away, and you're going to fill the car up. You're going to fill your pickup truck up, $150 worth of gas to drive to sit and rain in Kansas City? No, you're not going to do that.
No.
And the beauty of you Midwesterners are different built than anybody on the planet. And this is a beautiful thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. It means nothing for you Midwesterners to drive 4 hours to go see a sprint car race.
Right.
Look where people come from to race at Knoxville.
Yeah.
I mean, they're coming from Sioux Falls. They're coming from
all over.
They come from everywhere. Midwesterners will drive anywhere to go see something, but when you don't think you're going to see it, you're going to stay home.
Right.
And that's the thing. The reach of Kansas Speedway is so broad because Midwesterners will drive 6 or 8 hours to a race. Well, they're not going to do it if they think they're going to be rained out. And Sunday looked bad. Sunday looked bad as far as the rain goes. Like I said, I was in Kansas City, and I wouldn't give you a nickel for the chance we were racing at 10:30, 11 o'clock that morning. I ran a 5K in that stupid monsoon.
So
it's just one of those things where I think that the weather was had a huge negative impact on that. So yeah. I'm with you on that one, Scott.
So you ran the 5K. Was that at the Speedway that you ran?
No. It was down in Overland Park or Leawood, down in Leawood, Kansas.
Mm.
We were at a shopping center down there. It was an MGA. It was a race down there. I do 5Ks all over the place.
I know you do.
And we're there, and it started at 8 o'clock, and you're watching your weather, and you're watching all the pretty colors on your radar. And we had a really, really nice morning for about the first 5 minutes of the run. Then we had wind for the next 10 minutes of the run. And then we had monsoon for the balance of it. So it was crazy, but all part of the journey. It's part of the book or something that I'll write sometime, you know, but it was good. I love Kansas City. I love your area out there. And just getting to meet people there in Leawood to do that run, I still, despite the fact that I was soaking wet, I really enjoyed it. I had a good time, that's for sure.
So I'm just going to follow up with one thing that Moody was saying. He said, look at Chicagoland. It's no longer because the fans didn't show up. Well, there's a big difference. I don't see that happening to Kansas Speedway, do you? I don't see the Kansas Speedway going away anytime soon because of what it's done for the economy around our area as well.
Well, no, because there's one difference, and you guys touched upon that. Chicagoland didn't get a lot of people and didn't sell a lot of tickets.
Right.
Kansas sells a lot of tickets.
Yeah.
They didn't get a lot of people, but they sell a lot of tickets.
Right.
There's a big difference there. There really is. And I just think that every racetrack is different.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. You know, Nashville is different than Chicagoland is different than Kansas. So those be careful what happened here. Things I'm not a huge fan of those because there's so much that goes into a decision in Kansas and so much that goes into a decision in Chicagoland. And here's the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
That race on Sunday was as entertaining a NASCAR race,
no doubt,
as you will see.
No doubt.
That ultimately is going to keep driving things to Kansas. And ticket sales were good. Ticket attendance was a little bit down, but ticket sales were good. So you have good ticket sales. You have a great entertaining race. You're in the Midwest, a great, great market, a great destination that people want to go to. Everything will be fine. We'll be good in Kansas.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Steve, because I would hate to think that there'd be a day when we didn't have Kansas Speedway here. You look at what we've done out there at Village West and that area and the development that it's had out there and what it's done for the economy in Wyandotte County. Wyandotte County was one of the poorest counties in the state of Kansas until Kansas Speedway came out there, and now it's one of the richest counties in all of the state. So Kansas Speedway has been a great thing for Kansas City, and I just hope that nothing happens to it in the future. That's all.
There's another factor right off from turn number two that's important as well, the gaming effect. Face it, sports, there is a huge element of sports that is involved with gaming.
Right.
And every sport is embracing it. Every sport is doing that. That tying that casino into Kansas Speedway and tying Kansas Speedway into that casino is a really, really good move for longevity.
I agree.
That's just it. Okay? That casino is tied to that Speedway, and collectively, that piece of property makes really, really good money for NASCAR.
Yeah.
It really does, and it makes really, really good money 2 weekends a year, and it makes really, really good money the other 50 weekends a year. And all being tied together works really, really well. So now I think we're probably good to go on Kansas.
Yeah, that's a good thing. All right, Steve, what do you got coming up on Wing Nation and some of the other shows that you're doing this week?
Well, we do Wing Nation. We talked to Brian Brown, talked to Brownie about that win at Knoxville. Wild one out there in Knoxville.
Man,
they're banging off each other.
Yeah.
So we talked to Brian Brown on our Wing Nation program this for this weekend. The one we produced yesterday We had Justin Peck, who won the All-Star races.
Right.
And we had Brett Marks on, who won the Justin Peck won two of the All-Star races, and Brett Marks, who won at Williams Grove. So all of it's at Wing Nation or on our YouTube page. And we're getting ready next week. We're doing a road show. We're going to Port Royal Speedway for the Weikert Memorial. So we're gearing up for that as well. So a lot going on in Wing Nation. It's a fun time of year, that's for sure.
Steve, we always appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Wednesdays. We always look forward to it. Your expertise is second to none. We appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
You got it, Scott. And you and I talked about getting together next time we come to town. I've already changed the travel, so I'm coming in a day early. So we'll worry about that when we get closer to it. But we're gonna get a chance to hang out a little bit.
All right, we're gonna go have us a couple micro brews. How about that?
That works for me. Anything works for me.
Yeah. All right, Steve. We appreciate you, buddy.
We'll talk to you, Scott. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. There you have it. Steve Post joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. Again, his appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve Post to come over and be a part of our show. What'd you feel about in that conversation right there? I think Steve was right on, don't you think, when he talks about Kansas Speedway? It's not going anywhere, do you think?
No, and I mean, you look at – I'm glad he thinks the way we think. You
right.
Know, he looks at it at a bigger picture. I mean, what also that Moody doesn't understand, too, is he probably doesn't know what the ticket sales were anyways. So, you know, you have pre-sale tickets that are good, and that money is going to sit there at the Speedway. That money didn't get taken away from the Speedway. The fan lost that money. So if they didn't show up, and I don't think that, you know, in Chicagoland's case that, you know, they just didn't have any pre-sales at all or yeah. had any, you know, walk-ups. So, I mean, it's like trying to compare an apple to an orange. It's not going to really work. But
right.
No, I'm glad we got some faith in the Speedway, and hopefully we can kind of, you know, throw it back in Moody's face in September.
Paul, he's hardcore. He goes, I'm from Washington State. I drive 5 hours there and 5 hours back. Where do you go, Paul? What racetrack is that you go to that you drive 5 hours to and 5 hours back? You know, you're hardcore if you drive 5 hours each way every week to somewhere.
Yes, I'll be honest.
I mean, if you do that, man, you're as hardcore as it gets. Right?
That's some dedication there.
Yeah.
I got to give it to you. I kind of dreaded my 2.5-hour drive to Lucas Oil Saturday night, but I mean, that's...
That was only 2.5 hours.
I know.
Yeah. But you didn't drive home.
No, I slept on the way home.
Your dad drove your ass home, didn't
yeah.
he? Yeah. So let me ask you. I want to ask this question out there. I've been wanting to ask this question. I don't know how many people do this. Austin, do you make your bed every day?
Yes.
Do you?
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
How about you, Kirk Elliott? Do you make your bed every day? Kirk says no. I'm not surprised by that. But I make my bed every day because, you know what? I hate getting into a bed that's unmade. Don't you?
Yeah, because, I mean, you end up with a cover off somewhere. You can't find it. Or, you know, it's just also, too, I mean, you start off your day with it. I don't say being a mess, but you start off your day with something good every day if you make your bed. You already have one thing accomplished. So, if, I mean, if you go out there and have a bad day the rest of the day,
Because you didn't make your bed.
Well, I mean, you're going to come back home to a made bed. You know, that's one thing I guess you can look forward to, but yeah. I don't know. I like being, you know, tidy and somewhat
right.
clean, so I can't see things being a mess.
You know, I'm glad that you said yes, because that just makes it even better for me, because I thought I was the only dummy that makes his bed every day.
People try to argue with me that you shouldn't. I just shake my head.
Marie said, nope, the old man of mine takes naps, so she doesn't make the bed every day. I guess if we're going to take naps. I don't take naps very often. Do you take naps, Austin? Do you take a nap once in a while?
I'll be honest. The last month of school, I'd come home after I did the show with you guys, and I would fall asleep on either on the floor with my cat or the couch in the shop. One of the two.
Well, I just can't walk away from my bed with it unmade, and my sheets have got to be clean all the time. You know, I'm a laundry machine. I just do laundry all the time. I do all of Deidre's laundry. I do all of my laundry. Do you do your own laundry, Austin? Does your mom do it for you?
Mom does it. I might take care of myself every once in a while, but besides that, I don't.
Other than your fire suit?
Yeah.
No naps for me, says Marie. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We've had a good show today. We want to thank our friend Steve Post for coming on. Don't forget, tonight, Flow Racing Night in America at Marshalltown. They're going to be showing the late models there. If you didn't hear, Robbie Price will be driving the 7S car with the World of Outlaws. Sheldon Hodgshield beat Kyle Larson last night at Bridgeport. That was some pretty good action last night. So a lot of good things talked about here today. Tomorrow, Chase Rodman is going to be joining us. You know who Chase is. He's the pit reporter for the World of Outlaws. I'm going to say it right now that I think, gosh, I don't mean this anything against my old buddy Scotty Cook, because he's like a brother to me. But I think Chase Rodman is maybe the best pit reporter in the industry. What do you think, Austin? Do you think he is?
I said it yesterday. He is.
Only other one, Connor Wade, is the only guy that comes close to him in my eyes.
Yeah, I mean, they're both young, and they have, you know, they want to put the work in. You know, you just they do all the research and all the setting, and, you know, before the event, they just don't walk up and stick their microphone in your face and, you know, just
ramble off something. Yeah, right?
I mean, they ask the questions that need to be asked, and it's never the same thing every time.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to Mostly Motorsports. Again, it's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Don't miss tomorrow. We'll start it all off at 12 noon Central Time. Again, Chase Rodman is going to be on with us. We hope that you'll join us as well. For my partner, Kirk Elliott, for my producer, Austin O'Neill, I'm Scott Traylor saying we'll see you tomorrow right here on Mostly Motorsports.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.